me hit one thing, and then we'll see if there's any questions. I don't want to communicate something I didn't intend here. But let me hit one thing that may clarify something that may be a question. And that is, I didn't really put a summary on this, but if you were in a situation and there were two or three people to work with, God, and God hadn't especially pointed out one of them yet, I would say probably the single person, there would be actually greater opportunity because of their greater time, their flexibility, so many values that had not been shaped and all, there are definite opportunities for wives and mothers. And God never rules anyone out when he picks someone out. And that's why God's pointing out of people is the main thing. There was a woman in Taiwan, Joan mentioned just something about how God's used different people. In a book, Pioneers of the Younger Churches, she was 50, had, I believe it's absolutely no education, and yet felt God calling her to be a missionary to her own people. And so she went through 5 years of Bible school. After those 5 years, she went up into the mountains and began preaching the gospel. And then through some military transactions, wars, and so forth, she was confined then to a valley. But for several years, men from these villages that she had gone to came down, were trained, and would go back. They would come down at night, sneak down, get their training from her, go back up, and then as a result of that, several thousands, and Barbara, are you familiar with, I think it was like 50 or 200,000 people eventually were affected through her ministry. But, you know, who would have chosen someone 50, no education, a widow? And so these are some things really just to consider, but one, it's not meant to rule out any person because God doesn't rule out any person. Uh-huh.
Should a wife pick a wife and a mother pick a mother? Is that a strategy also?
I think it's a good idea in that you do have just some real, I think building the relationship may be a little quicker.
Say if I had a choice between a single or a wife and mother in my own state, would you recommend that I go for people more like me?
Okay. I'm going to add something in just a second that may clarify, but let me speak specifically to that. I would probably consider, knowing the situation you're in, Barb, the time, how long is that person going to be there and how long will you be in your location? And knowing that it takes a while to build a relationship, if you were relatively new to both people or at the same point, I might go with the wife and mother in that I think your relationship might click a little faster. But then here's a whole other set, and this is just this is the other thing as far as using this type of thoughts about discipling singles, wives, and mothers. And that is just the things that you think about when you select under God's guidance and as you pray, the qualities and the things you would look for to select, because this enters in. That's not on here anywhere. One time, Carolyn asked me to do a study on selection, and so I went through and I came up with the acrostic ALIVE, A-L-I-V-E. And I got that out of a verse that I feel is just a real key in selection. It's kind of like my keynote for selection, and it's Ecclesiastes 9:4b. Would someone read that aloud? Now, the B is real important. Make sure you get the B part. And though I'm sure most of you have qualities that you look for when you're selecting someone, you probably haven't taken a lot of them out of Ecclesiastes. And this is the only one, I think, that comes out of Ecclesiastes. But I think you must have found B. let's see. G, can you read that? Just the B. The B.
Surely a live dog is better than a dead lion.
Okay. Now, this really is... this really is key. you want someone who's really alive to God, who's alive to getting after it, not someone who just looks pretty, pretty physically or in ministry sense. For instance, say I came up and you know, I was hauling this dead lion in a wagon. And I said, you know, this is my star disciple, Leona. And so he says, well, you know, gosh, there's a lot of flies around, so you take your off or whatever, spray around. And he says, see, look, just look at that beautiful mane. at those paws for reaching out, and those claws sharp for digging into the word. This is my prized disciple, Leona. And he says, well, what does she do? Well, she's doing it right now. She's just lying there to be observed. You can have someone who really looks good on the outside as far as potential and or skills and things, but do they have a heart really alive to God? And are they really moving around? Are they moving? In contrast to that, my husband had a little dog at one time that was really, it was an ugly little dog, real scrunchy and real small. But he said that dog had more courage than any dog they ever had. And one time, this big boar, a pig-type boar, walked into the yard. I'm sure the other type of boar probably walked into the yard sometimes, too. But it walked into the yard, and, in case you're wondering, my husband grew up in Tennessee. It wasn't in New York City or something, this pig walked into the yard. But this boar walked into the yard, and I believe the children were playing. But anyhow, it was kind of dangerous that this boar was in the yard. And so this little dog, about this big, and, you know, I'm not real sure about boars, but I think they're about like this. They're good-sized things. It attacked that boar. It went and it ran. It jumped up on its back, dug in, got its ears or, you know, part of its mouth, and shooed the thing away. And so that it's with light of that that someone who really is alive to God is willing to go after things, though they may not have the skills, the education, the physical appearance that could be real assets. Gosh, all the things that, the looks, education, intelligence, God can use those things and ministry skills in a mighty way. But if you've got to choose, go with the person whose heart is really alive to God.
Did you say alive with an acrostic?
Uh-huh.
Could you tell us?
Okay. Yeah. I really didn't ask you to say that, but I thought someone might ask. Okay, alive is available to you, to God, in their time, in their heart. Available. L is a learner, someone who's really seeking to learn from God, learns from God, from their experiences, willing to learn from, maybe eager to learn from you, better than willing. I is invests in others. They're already, you know, they have a heart for others. V is values, knowing God, really wants to know God. And E is emotional-social stability or ability. And that's, I'm really thinking of just a minimum here. If someone had just a real, real emotional problems or something. I mean, I'm not talking about probably most people that you would run into or that type of thing, but something that would just really be a hindrance. This is something Carolyn mentioned that it would really be a significant hindrance. You'd want to consider that. And again, God pointing people out is the thing that takes precedence over all of this. Just after I did this study for Carolyn, a project that she had given me, I, by a mistaken identity, met Mindy in the library at seminary. I went up to her, you know, saying, hi, how are you? And then realized it's someone else. And so I thought, well, here I am, here she is. Might as well get to know her. So we talked some. And then Carolyn was meeting me just outside the library that day. And I said, you know, Carolyn, I think some God may have just led to someone, you know, that I'll be involved with in some way. And Carolyn said, what was it? You know, and I said, well, it was the look in her eyes. And what it was I really sensed that she was God motivated. She really had a desire for God. And indeed, that's what has carried her on far, far and kept her going. Unrelated in many ways to any help I gave her, but it was that desire for God. And so God can point out people they may not exactly fit, but that is these are some other factors. Do we have about half of our time left, or how are we going? Or how many minutes left? Just tell me that now.
However many you need. Okay. Is it okay? They might want to take a stand-up break.
Okay. Okay, why don't we do that? And also, if you have a question, it's kind of a hang up before we move on, let me know. So I want to stand and do something. 15 minutes. Okay, great. Yeah, I think so. Oh, that it's historical, and then Revelation is prophecy. And that first one is talking more about how Jesus' teachings get more, or God's teachings to us get more specific, I guess. The arrows would be going this way. And Acts and Revelation are really not teaching.
Acts would be more underlying examples.
Right, right. So, that doesn't mean to leave out Acts, but, and this is just 15 minutes, so that's a sort of goal for everyone to shoot for. Chart 3 is about different. These are just kind of various suggestions for relating to, maybe helping someone, whether if they're single or if they're a wife or a mother. And not at all that some could not transfer back and forth. And if we have a little bit of time at the end, we may come back and let you yourself speak out and add to some of these, because I'm sure that just among us, we could come up with some really good lists as people shared their own ideas. Mindy and Sabra helped me. That's where they were assistant writers on this. So they were the assistant writers. But if you turn over to Wives, page 2 on chart 3, Carolyn was the example in this. In fact, well, throughout the whole thing, anything about how to relate to, really show love to, how to help someone, how to build the right relationship, any of the principles on discipling. She is the person God used to bring these to me. It just overwhelmed me time and time again how she really thought through these types of things with me, because when she was helping me, I was already married. And she, in fact, you know, she would ask, she would encourage Harold to me, or she would, you know, praise him to me. And I mean, God used that to convict me that I wasn't praising him enough, you know, and just really knew the things I needed to do as a wife, and the things that, you know, could particularly strengthen our relationship. One thing in here that may be a new thought, I don't know, to some of you, is that wives, I think most newlywed wives, that's right, feel somewhat inadequate, because they may, even if they have a lot of skills, most of them will have some goal, Proverbs 31 or something that they're comparing themselves to, and think, oh, I'm not, you know, where's my staff and spindle and all, and I'm not, don't have it all together. And so just some encouragement there helps. Another factor that is different in working with a wife is now you do have a second person. You know, usually you think of, if you're working with people, I have, you know, with them, and so it's two relationships, mine to them and them to me. But with the wife, you have four relationships, yours to the woman's to yours, yours to the husband to you. You won't sit down and share anything from a notebook with him, but you will relate to him. And just, even if you don't do that much with him, he will be kind of wondering, well, what's this other woman leading my wife toward? You know, is she teaching her to rebel, or just what is the impact of her teaching going to be? And so it is good to make sure that relationship is good. Just one other I'd like to mention here is under help her to see on the same page, the first one, that in God's guidelines for ministry, character development for a biblically, oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Well, maybe that's why. Why don't you scratch out for ministry character development? No, I'm sorry. Guidelines for ministry. Oh, no, I'm sorry. It's right. Leave it in there. Okay. Don't scratch that. What this means, I now see why Nolly marked it, that might be good to explain, because I didn't understand it myself after I read it. But I mean, that wasn't Mindy's or Sabre's. That was mine. I just couldn't understand my own one. What it means is, if you've got to choose between areas to help her with, if there's some attitudes in her marriage that you know God wants to change, it really will be important to work on those prior to working with her, or in more degree than working with her on ministry skills. She may have real felt needs for ministry skills, so you could some along the way, but just know that if God doesn't bring those changes in her heart that are affecting her marriage, her ministry is going to be curtailed. Because on down the line, one, either her marriage may fall apart, or just no one will be attracted to the things they see, and in her marriage, she'll be contradicting the very things she would want to pass on to people. And people will learn from her life, not from her teachings. And let me just throw out this, because I don't think I hit on it. I don't think I did earlier. One of the things in discipling women, whatever their marital or family status, what God's interested in, his goal or his purpose, is transforming our lives so that they glorify him. His goal, his purpose, is the glory of God. And it is going to be, it's discipling is not bound up in a notebook. It's bound up in life. And so that, in all of the stages, is what you're going to be heading toward. Let's go to page 3 on the women, the suggestions. And again, I'm just overwhelmed. Most of these, even ones I came up with here, were not from where I had done something for another mother and said, oh man, look how that really built the relationship, or, you know, look how good that was. But under particularly these things, be sensitive to and show love and strengthen the relationship by, these were done to me by women, whether some I'd formally helped and some I hadn't. But after Jessica was born, they were the ones, and most of them some were single and some did not have children. And God led them, gave them the sensitivity to do all of these things for me. Beverly used her creative gifts in doing our birth announcements, and just besides just all kinds of help in getting things organized and all. But I could mention, and put Mindy made a little, just on the gifts thing, a little stitchery thing with God gave us Jessica June 7, 1979, you know, and they've really shown interest in Jessica, broader gifts, different ones have. And just seeing, boy, how that warmed my heart. And there was only one person who was a woman who was a mother that I attempted to help before I became a mother. And just seeing, oh, man, I should have done that, you know. And, just all kinds of things that I didn't do, and God gave them the sensitivity to do. Then a couple you might want to add under help her to see. One is help her to see how the need for short prayers as they pray with their children can help her herself get to the point with God. Something, a situation that can become frustrating at first is you sit down to pray or something, or you're praying with someone else, and you realize your child's attention span is about 3 words or 5 words, and so you think, oh, you could get to feeling, poor me, I can't pray long like I used to. But it has really helped me in that now I have to think, now what am I wanting to say to God, you know, and just be real simple. And I think from some of the things in the New Testament, that might please him more anyhow. So to help her see, that's one example, but help her to see, maybe she's coming to you and she's real frustrated by something, a situation related to her child. Maybe she feels like she can't grow. See if you can think of a way that God can actually use that to be an asset. One other thing, help her to see how the need to explain things, spiritual things, to her child can help her get her theology straightened out. And give her the felt need to get into the Bible and all. There have been a couple of things with Jessica that, you know, something would come up, there'd be a picture in one of her books, maybe someone getting baptized or something. I'd be into my explanation of what was going on, and I'd say, Harold, is that how we should explain it to her? Is that, you know, and just when you've got to make it simple, you've got to know the real basic central truths that the Bible is talking about. And when you've got to use simple words, you've got to know, you know, you've really got to know it. So that can be another aid.
That really helps with non-believers and Christians too.
Good, yes. An excellent situation is to be ministering to people who have not much of a Bible background. You've got to do the same thing. Let's go on to chart 4. Again, if we have time, we'll come back. is the one I think that in some ways I feel the most excitement about. About how just the interrelationship between discipling and being a wife or mother. And this is what we're talking about, that this is actually sort of the culmination of the answer to Missy's question about, you know, do you mess someone up if you train them for, you disciple them and or you train them to be a disciple maker or maker of disciple makers if God leads them to marriage and mothering. The things that I learned both from Carolyn as she helped me and then just in seeing how she helped me and then the her trying to help me know how to help other women, the most help that I've had in mothering has come from that. I went into mothering not, I still don't know how to do a cloth diaper, not knowing anything about not knowing anything about anything. I mean, I had to read little books and call about five other mothers every time, you know, something happened. I'm gaining in that now, and that's not something I'd encourage you for. Mindy and Bev, who are here and expecting, have done a much better job than I have in just being around me and other mothers and learning things, so they're going to have a lot less homework to do when their child arrives, so I'm not putting that up, but I am saying, though I didn't and still don't have a lot of training in the physical areas of it, I'm especially thankful to Carolyn and the hour she spent. One of the results of it is in just knowing I'll be moving through a situation. Maybe just flip to the second page for a second. I'll be moving through a situation with Jessica. I'll see she needs a certain quality or something. And, well, just flip through my mind. Okay, I need to tell her what. I need to define this if it's sharing or giving. Well, I need to start using the word giving, but I need to define it. I need to tell her why. Make a, you know, come with a simple explanation of why. You know, show her how to do it. Help her get started in her first time of, you know, sharing with this child. I just flip through. I've been about to correct her two or three times. Show, wait a minute. That means nine times. 27 times. I better encourage her here real quick, you know. Or, and about the 90% encouragement, 10% rebuke. Just knowing it's going to take example plus explanation, that though it suddenly occurred to me, though, when people come into our house, we often are sharing food and that sort of thing with them or sharing time. Jessica wouldn't at this point have any more idea than anything that I was sharing or in some of the ways that we would be sharing. And so to start telling her about some of the ways that we're sharing. Here's what I'll have to explain anyhow because it may not be real clear. Knowing that the quality and depth of the relationship will predominantly affect the amount of life transferred. Carolyn did so much just in building the relationship. I knew she loved me, that I had a tremendous love for her, and for, you know, given the stubbornness and all that, I think I really wanted, I had the desire to learn from her. And knowing that if I'm, you know, putting a low priority on Jessica or just not, that if I want the life to transfer, the relationship has to be there. And just seeing that she does emulate so many things, right and wrong, but also that it is going to be, if I am not just building that relationship with her, I can't just hope that character qualities are going to come into her life and going to stay. They may, you know, they can stay by force, but they won't stay by choice. Does that give you the idea of what I'm talking about how it's just tremendously exciting to me to see that these things are just there? And to mention the other side of it, too, Carolyn, these things that I now, you know, just flipping through my head as I'm with Jessica, that I more or less tried more or less effectively with different women at that time. Now as they're coming through my head with Jessica and I'm beginning to apply them more, I'm thinking, well, hey, I need to be doing this with so-and-so. You know, okay, I'm doing it with Jessica. Why haven't I been doing it that much with, you know, one of the women? And so it transferred to mothering, and then the mothering plus that is helping it transfer on back to helping other women. Back to the wives. I'll see if there's anything on there that needs... And here, Carolyn is actually probably the person I was thinking of and do think of when I think of some of the ways that training and discipling would transfer to learning needed as a wife. When she was part of the church, I know something Harold often mentions is just how he saw her joyfully submit, though she probably, as he says, knew more than anyone in the group, including himself, was willing to submit to things and yield rights, submit schedule, showing respect, communicating the truth in love, serving. All of these are things that a wife will need to do. And if someone is particularly on a staff relationship or is being discipled, these are things they're going to have many opportunities for. Is that part clear, the first part, the printed part there? I'd like to add something then, and that is, so right here, the first part talked about how disciple-making can transfer to qualities needed as a wife. Also, the process of discipling or helping another woman is real good preparation for being a wife. And I think the way I've probably seen it the most is it can strengthen your own desire for things like submission. The women who I've been involved with, I think, have really exhibited little of this, but when maybe someone who's working with someone else, when someone is not submissive, when they just are outright rebellious or sulk or just, do things their own way, and you think, and as Mindy would say, you think, that's a pit attitude, and that just stinks, that's terrible, can't they see? Can't they see what it is that they're doing and how awful that is in God's eyes? Then God just uses that and say, would you remember yesterday with Harold? Do you remember, did that stink any less in God's eyes? Doesn't he want it just as much out of your life? And also, to just help you see maybe new ways, maybe you really hadn't been aware that a certain action was not submitting. But when you see someone else not do it and you feel the repercussions as a leader, you say, uh-oh, now I know one other thing I've done, with maybe Harold that's not submission or something I need to watch out for. So it will broaden your definition of submission and give you much greater conviction that it is really a worthwhile and a good quality besides being commanded. It does let us know how our husband feels, and I think that's part of the motivation in it. If we are hurt maybe by someone not submitting, you say, well, that's how Harold felt, God uses that to strengthen that. I want to hit the second page of chart 4 just a little bit more, and it's sort of the same thing I'd like to share. I'd like to add one thing, if you want to add it to that list, and that is the with her principle. In other words, in dealing with a child, this is another principle that can just go through your head, has often gone through my head, of just seeing time with the person. And Jessica sleeps a lot less than the average child, and so I've had a lot of time with her. But just knowing, I think I could have been a lot easier to resent that, or build up a continuing resentment is what I'm talking about, if I hadn't realized that's just that many more hours that I have had with her. Last night we had an opportunity, about 20 minutes here at the near the gate, and so we just left the headlights on, and God just said, man, this, you're in a car, and so she seems to be more in a kind of a listening mood and all, and won't be running around, and so why don't you just use it to talk about God's creation here that the headlights are coming up with. So we talked about, and again, opportunity to get your theology down. I was pointing out how, but how God had created the different things. And she just really listened, and I talked about then how I created man and then woman. And then at the end of it, she just kind of leaned over up against me and said, but just real sweet. She just, that was so neat, what God had done and all in making this. And then Melanie was riding back with us later, and she was able to repeat back a lot of the things that we had talked about, so it really sunk in. And that's had a not known from Carolyn, that just see times with a person, they're an opportunity, it could have easily, I think, passed me by. So that's just another one to add. Then another one is a principle that's helped me, and it's the principle of going for the long haul. Rather than thinking that someone you're helping needs to just look sharp right now, no matter what. You need to use all kinds of force to get them to do the right thing right now. Just read real quickly something from Leroy Imes, part of a paper he did on the climate in which men thrive and grow. And so this is the principle, what I'm going to read. This is the principle, one that's helped me with Jessica and would be helpful to a mother. It says, the man who is trained in the nightmare atmosphere of rebuke, exhortation, correction, will become a bland, pleasant, nice guy, pure vanilla, never makes a mistake, and never does anything that requires the step of faith or the spirit of a gambler. He keeps his room neat, polishes his shoes, dresses well, sings loudly at meetings, opens doors, fakes right before passing to the left, makes proper introductions, outlines chapters well, and is an overall sweet boy. Everybody likes him, but nobody plans to write his biography. He contrasts that with someone trained in the atmosphere of faith, joy, anticipation, excitement, and love. He says they'll make some mistakes, they'll cause some embarrassment, but he will get the job done. And if he's permitted to make some mistakes, he'll learn by them and he'll learn to value your judgment. Now, that's, I think you know why we didn't print that one on here. But just the thing of knowing that with someone you really want to go for the overall end picture, and knowing with a child that's what you need to go for too. Being discipled helps because I may be in a situation where I hadn't crystallized the principle before, but I think this situation is similar to some that Carolyn was in with me. And she really, what was it she did that was so effective? And so just the experience of having been discipled can transfer over. One thing that I want to throw out is occurring to me. Those of you who know me know that Jessica is not just a project, an educational tool, or, you know, something to learn from about discipling. But it's been a tremendous joy, or my husband, or marriage situation. The years in marriage and then with Jessica, it's just been tremendous joy and fulfillment and love. So I wanted to make sure that didn't come across, that she was a tool. Now, one time there was a time when I thought we might be pregnant. It was about a year before we had thought about doing that. And I finally, after a real struggle, I was talking with her on the car. I said, well, I guess God would probably work on my character a lot through it. And he said, well, children aren't just educational toys. The Bible says they're a gift from the Lord, and they're a real joy. And so that is the feeling. It may have not come across in the examples. Does anyone have a question that's really kind of hanging you up? And aren't we at about time?